Hey, how's everybody doing? You guys feeling good this morning? Good. Yeah, thanks. Jesse feels great. Awesome. Hey, so if you know anything about my wife and I, which I have no idea if you do or not, you would know that right now is kind of a crazy time in our lives. Crazy in a very, very good way. I don't mean that in a bad way at all. But let me just kind of recap some things that have been happening. One, I got this position as junior high pastor. 3 weeks ago, about a month ago, I think. So that was a big change in our lives. Some of you met our new little puppy dog on Wednesday. His name is Duke. He is a Cavalier King Charles Spaniel. Whatever. He looks like a Cocker Spaniel. He's got big floppy ears. He's a lot of fun. Really good dog. He's only peed in the house like 3 times, so that's fun. And as well, we moved yesterday, which was incredibly exhausting, but we moved into a brand new home out of a one-bedroom apartment we've been in a one-bedroom apartment since we got married, so it's a big change for us. So all of these things are changing. And this next thing I want to tell you about, I should have told you about a few weeks ago, but I forgot. A lot of you probably know, and once I say this, you're going to be like, you forgot to tell us about that? My wife, Heather's in the back of the room right now. She is pregnant with our first child. She's pregnant with our first child, little baby Sanchez. We don't know if it's going to be a boy or a girl yet. We'll know at the end of the month. Yeah, I think it's going to be a boy, but I don't care. I really don't care either way. But the little one will be here at the end of October to join us. So I wanted to tell you guys that because I didn't want you to, like, 3, 4, 5 months from now, see my wife pushing around a stroller and be like, how did that get there? So I wanted you guys to know a little bit ahead of time. So as we get started today, I need to confess something to you. And I feel like I've been doing this a lot lately, which is kind of funny, but I need to confess something to you because this is a safe place. I need to tell you about something that really, really bothers me, and I believe and think that it probably bothers some of you in here as well. Do any of you know what a bandwagon fan is? Yes. These people that for some reason will abandon their team at any cost and go with the same team that everybody else is following. Or the new team that wins all the games. Right now, this really bothers me because we're in the middle of something called the NBA playoffs, which I love to watch. They've been so much fun this year. Whoa, excuse me, that was weird. They've been so much fun this year. And one group of fans that really bothers me, and if you know anything about basketball, they should bother you too. Miami Heat fans. Miami, yes, I know, right? Right? Like 4 years ago, before LeBron made his decision, before Bosh and Wade and these three guys were all together in the Heat, nobody even knew that Miami had a team. Like people, they were down there playing basketball. Nobody had any idea what was going on. And now, 4 years later, everybody is a LeBron fan. Everybody's doing this at basketball games and hitting their chest. Like, what? What? You're a Heat fan just because they win. Maybe you have some friends like this, right? Maybe you have some friends that are like, oh, I'm such a Suns fan. I love the Phoenix Suns. They're so much fun. Yeah, they're great. They're going to make the playoffs, and then they didn't make the playoffs this year, and all of a sudden they're wearing Heat gear to school the next day. You're like, what? What is wrong with you? Why are you just doing what everybody else does to fit in? And some of you girls are looking at me like, what? Who are the Miami Heat? LeBron James. Well, for you, I don't know how well this relates, but when I was thinking about bandwagon fans for some of you girls, the first person that came to mind was Harry Styles. That was cool.
Well, hello, this is God.
Was Harry Styles. What? Why? Why? Yeah, that happened last night. Some of you girls are like, ew, and some of the girls are like, I'm just going to say ew because they said ew, and that's exactly what I'm talking about. Like, who decides that Harry Styles is like the image of cuteness that every girl needs to follow? Like, who decides that? Dylan Barry decides that? That's weird. That's really weird. But I don't know who it was. I don't know if it was like a junior high girl a couple years back when One Direction came over here or whatever that was like, oh, I think Harry Styles is cute. So I'm going to tweet at him 1,500 times in a day to see if he'll follow me back. And then all of a sudden, like, I don't know, half of the junior high population of girls is all of a sudden all hyped up about Harry Styles. And I still can't figure it out. It's little stuff like that. These bandwagons that we follow, like why is it so easy for us to go with the flow? Why is it so easy for us to do the things that everybody else around us does just because they're doing them? Even if God tells us that there's certain things we shouldn't do, a lot of the times we tend to do those things just because everybody else around us is doing them. So I wonder this today. And this is a bit extreme. I know the examples that I use seem kind of funny and goofy, and it's because they are, except the Miami Heat one. That one's serious. Like, what if everybody around you decided, like, hey, you know, this Christian thing, this isn't for me. This God that we serve, he's not for me. Instead, you know, I'm gonna leave this behind, and I'm gonna go worship another God. I'm gonna go join another group of people who says, forget about God, let's go with this religion, with this person, with this thing instead of God. That sounds a bit intense, but where we're going to be today in Scripture, that's exactly what happens for three guys. If you have your Bible with you, open to Daniel chapter 3. See, there were these three guys, and if you grew up in children's ministry at all, you've probably seen the VeggieTales version of this. I think in VeggieTales they're called Rakshak and Benny. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These three guys, they found themselves in the middle of a bandwagon that was way, way worse than people just becoming Miami Heat fans. I don't know how that's possible, but that's where they found themselves in this story. People were asking them to give up on their God. So before you get to Daniel chapter 3, it's like, okay, how did these guys wind up where they are? Well, let me give you a little background about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These guys were Israelites. They lived in Israel. They were faithful to God, the same God that you and I serve, the only true God. They were faithful to him. And then all of a sudden, there was this guy named King Nebuchadnezzar, and this empire, this city, this place that ruled almost all of the world at the time, this really strong city, and this really strong and powerful king named Nebuchadnezzar, who came into Israel, and he said, oh, well, this is a nice place, but I'd rather have you in Babylon with me. So they come into Israel, and then they take people. They take things that were used to worship God, and they bring them into Babylon and say, you will live here, and you will obey what we command. And Nebuchadnezzar took some of the best people that Israel had to offer, the strongest, the smartest, the best looking, the best people that Israel had. Nebuchadnezzar says, you will come with me, and you will do what I tell you to do. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were some of those people. They had another buddy who this book is named after, Daniel, who wound up finding himself in a lion's den a few chapters later. But these four guys were really, really close friends. But what made them unique is that even when they came to a different city, even when they came to a place where people were worshiping other gods and doing things that they knew they shouldn't be doing, they never gave in. Bless you. They stayed faithful to God, and they never gave in to the things around them. In fact, if you go left in your Bible, probably it's a page and a half in mine, to Daniel chapter 1, you'll see a story of these three guys being challenged. The king's officials, the king's people tell them, hey, you're going to eat this, and you're going to do this to get strong. And God had told them not to eat certain things and not to do certain things. And they say, look, I dare you. Well, I don't know if they said I dare you. But they said, try us. Try our God. We're not going to eat the food you want us to eat because our God doesn't want us to eat it. Instead, we're going to eat vegetables. Vegetables for a week. Which you have to have a lot of faith in God if that's all you're going to do. They wind up eating vegetables for a week. And a week later, because they remained faithful to God, they found themselves stronger and better off than all the other people in the land. For this entire time, as they were living in Babylon, as they were living under a king who didn't care anything about their God, they remained faithful to God. And because of that, God brought them to a great place. In Daniel chapter 3, we find them in a place where they're actually serving in the king's court. They're serving the king directly. Because they remained faithful to God, God blessed them, it says, with all sorts of knowledge and understanding. They became smart guys. They were able to do things that other people couldn't, and the king noticed those things. And because of that, he said, I want you to be close to me. So God, because they were faithful, God blessed them. He blessed them, and he showed them favor, and he brought them to a place of serving the king. And then we get to Daniel chapter 3, and the story heats up a little bit. That pun was intended, if you caught it. The story heats up a little bit. We see this crazy, crazy turn. So let's read this together. Let's read this together. Let's see what this story may mean for us today. Daniel chapter 3, starting in verse 1. It says, King Nebuchadnezzar made an image of gold 60 cubits high and 6 cubits wide and set it up on the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. He then summoned the satraps, prefects, governors, advisors, treasurers, judges, magistrates, and all the other provincial officials to come to the dedication of the image he had set up. So, here we go again, the satraps, prefects, governors, advisors, treasurers, judges, magistrates, and all the other provincial officials assembled for the dedication of the image that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up, and they stood before it. Then the herald loudly proclaimed,
Nations and peoples of every language,
this is what you are commanded to do. As soon as you hear the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, pipe, and all kinds of music, you must fall down and worship the image of gold that King Nebuchadnezzar has set up. Whoever does not fall down and worship will immediately be thrown into a blazing furnace. Oh, okay, that's pretty intense. Therefore, as soon as they heard the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, and all kinds of music, all the nations and peoples of every language fell down and worshiped the image of gold that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. So what is going on here? This king, Nebuchadnezzar, this powerful man, he sets up this golden statue that it's measured in cubits there, but by our measurements, it was 90 feet high and 9 feet wide. This gigantic statue. And then he says, hey, gather all the important people from the land. Bring them here. I want them to see what I've done for themselves. So they all come because he's the king and you listen to what the king has to say. But he doesn't stop there. When all these important people show up, he says, oh, by the way, when you hear anything, any sort of music play, you need to bow down and worship this gold statue. You need to bow down, forget about everything you believe in, forget about everything you know. This will be your God now. That's a pretty intense situation that they find themselves in. And it's crazy because he doesn't actually stop there. He tells them, you're going to bow down to this. This will be your God. But if you don't bow down, I'm going to throw you in a furnace. And some of you were like, that doesn't sound too bad. I can survive Arizona in the summer. No, this is fire. You're going to burn alive in a furnace if you don't worship this God. So as I read this story, it makes me think today. Like obviously we don't have people bowing down to statues. Some people do, I guess. But I wonder in our society as Americans, as junior hires, like what are some of the statues that people are bowing down to? What are some of the things that people are putting before God and saying, God, I know that you ask us to live this way. You command us to live this way, but we're going to do this instead. What are some of those statues? What about the movies we watch? I'm sure some of you, maybe this is some of you, or, Or maybe it's some of your friends. It's like, oh, well, there's not that many bad words. I can probably get away with it. Or, oh, there's not that many pieces of clothes missing. I can watch it. Everybody else is. It's okay for me. Or what about some of the music that we listen to? Oh, they're talking about girls that way and calling them certain names, or they're talking about love or sex in a certain way, but oh, I would never do that. So everybody else listens. Everybody else is saying that I should do that even though God is telling me not to. Or what about at school? Like what are the people at school doing? What are they talking about? What are they trying? That you're like, oh, well, maybe I could do that. I mean everybody else is, right? I mean, I don't know, everybody else is bowing down to these things. Maybe I should too. What are some of our statues today? And then as I continue to think through this and read and wonder what this means for us today, I realized that he didn't end there. Like not everybody bows just because everybody else is involved. Like the truth is, some people in this story bowed because if they didn't, they were going in a furnace. And maybe some of you bow to certain things or do certain things because you're scared of the threats that are on the other end of it. Like, what are some of the furnaces that we have if we don't do what everybody else does today? Like, what are some of the threats that we face? Maybe being unpopular? Maybe being hated? Maybe losing some friends? Being a little weird? Not being liked by everybody? Not being the coolest kid in school? And maybe some of you're faithful to God and you stay exactly where you are. And maybe that's okay. I don't know. Maybe that's just what God is doing in your situation or your life. But there are very, very real threats. And for a junior higher, like the thought, I remember when I was in junior high, the thought of being the weird one, the thought of not having friends, the thought of people hating me caused me to do a lot of things that I know I shouldn't have done. So what are our statues today? What are the things that everybody around us are bowing down to? And what are the threats? What are our furnaces? What are the things that we're scared of, if we don't bow down like everybody else? So then if we don't bow down, what do we do? Like if this is our reality, that there are statues, there's things that people are doing, that there are threats, there's furnaces for us if we don't bow down, what do we do? Let's keep reading. Daniel 3, verse 8. At this time, some astrologers came forward and denounced the Jews. That's our three friends. They said to King Nebuchadnezzar, "May the king live forever. Your majesty has issued a decree that everyone who hears the sound of the horn, we get it, flute, zither, lyre, harp, pipe, and all kinds of music must fall down and worship the image of gold, and that whoever does not fall down and worship will be thrown into a blazing furnace. But there are some Jews whom you have set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who pay no attention to you, your majesty. They neither serve your gods nor worship the image of gold you have set up." So what happens here? We see that our three, Rakshak and Benny, they decide to stand when everybody else bows. And because they decide to do that, some people don't like it. Some people go and they tell the king, "Look, hey, these guys aren't doing what everybody else is doing. What are you, king, gonna do about it? It's your time to step up." This bothers some people that they don't bow, and the situation starts to get a bit intense. What's interesting about this is the same thing I think happens to us when we decide to stand up when everybody else is bowing. The truth is that some people will notice. Some people will notice that you're living in a different way than everybody else. And some people aren't going to like it. That's just the truth. I can't tell you why they're not going to like it. But the truth is, if you live different than everybody else, some people aren't going to be happy with it. But even though that's the case, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that's the worst, hardest name to say, decided to stand. And not only will people tell on you, sometimes this situation can cause you some trouble. Maybe some of you are in here and you know that firsthand. You're like, man, I've stood up for some things that I know God wants me to stand for, and because of it, like it's caused me some trouble. Some people don't like me. Some people have said some mean things about me. I've been in a mean, bad place. And we'll see in this story next week, it causes them a lot of trouble. You're going in a furnace if you don't do it. But even though some people noticed and didn't like it, and these guys got in trouble, they still decided to stand. They chose to serve God who watched over them from the beginning. We see that two pages to the left. God was with them during this entire time, through this entire story. They decide that we're going to serve God over doing what everybody else around us wants us to do that we know is wrong. They stand for what is right when everybody else bows to something that is wrong. Let's keep going. Verse 13. So what happens? What happens after they get told on? Well, verse 13, furious with rage, Nebuchadnezzar summoned Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So these men were brought before the king, and Nebuchadnezzar said to them, "Is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the image of gold I have set up? Now, when you hear the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, pipe, and all kinds of music, if you are ready to fall down and worship the image I made, very good. But if you do not worship it, you will be thrown immediately into a blazing furnace. Then what God will be able to rescue you from my hand?" So these guys stand when everybody else bows. And then they're called before the king, who's the one who told them in the first place, you bow or you go in a furnace. And they're before this king, and he says, "Look, I'm going to give you another chance. You can bow and walk away unharmed, or you can stand and you can go in a furnace." And what does he say to him? He says, "If you go in that furnace, then what God will be able to save you from my hand?" In this place in the story, we see two real powers going against each other. We see the power of God on one side, saying, "Stand for me." And then we see the power of a king who's saying, "What God will save you from me and my furnace?" And they're about to go head to head, and only one of these powers can win. And today, the truth is, like, there are very real powers in our world. If you're sitting in this place and you've been a Christian for any amount of time, you know the power of God. You've seen him work in people's lives. Maybe he's saved the marriage of mom and dad. Maybe you've seen him heal people in your family or your friends. Maybe he's done this incredible work in your life that he's continuing to do. But you also know, on the other hand, in today's world, there's another power called sin and evil. And it goes against God head to head on a daily basis. And it says, "Abandon your God and do what I want you to do. Do the things that you know you shouldn't be doing. Bow to me instead of bowing to your God. Do what I say is right, even though you know it's wrong, instead of listening to your God." And the truth is, we can't stand against sin. We can't stand against evil, against doing the things that we know we shouldn't do by ourselves. We can't do it. "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." We've all sinned. We've all bowed down to sin at some point in our lives. We need God. If we're going to stand when everybody else around us bows, we can only stand by the power of God. He's the only one that can keep us standing. And that's what these guys stood by. That's what they stood by. They knew that, hey, if we don't bow, we're going in a furnace. How? They're not going to get out of that on their own. I mean, for some of you, if we don't bow, we're going to lose our friends. People are going to think we're dumb. People are going to think we're the weird ones because we're not bowing to everything else. And there's no way that I'm going to be okay unless God comes in and works in my life. There's no way that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are going to make it out of that furnace on their own. They need God to show up and do something about it. We cannot stand without the power of God in our lives. But the truth is that God's power is much stronger than anything else. Nebuchadnezzar would find this out firsthand. And if you read all of Daniel, you'll see spoiler alert. Nebuchadnezzar winds up finding himself almost cursed by God later in this book. This king who at one time ruled the world finds himself crawling around on all fours like a dog and wandering through the forest, almost like losing his mind in a sense, because God chose to humble him. I can tell you that God's power is much stronger than Nebuchadnezzar, but it's also much stronger than the sin that you face. It's much stronger than the temptations that you face in this world. Let's keep going. Verse 16. So how do Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego reply to them? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to him. They said, King Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to deliver us from it, and he will deliver us from your majesty's hand. But even if he does not, we want you to know, your majesty, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold you have set up. So when these guys are faced with the challenge, they say, look, that's fine. If we go into that furnace, our God can show up and he can deliver us from it. He can save us from that furnace. But even if he doesn't, we're not bowing down to your stupid statue. We're not going to do it. I don't care what you say or what you threaten us with. See, when we decide to stand for what is right, we're acknowledging that we trust God. When we decide to stand when everybody else bows, we're saying, God, what you have for me is better than anything else in this world. We're also saying, look, God, if we stand and we lose our friends, or we lose our popularity, or we just become not cool anymore, it doesn't matter. Just like they said, even if he doesn't get us out of this furnace, it doesn't matter. We're not bowing. We're not bowing to your statue. We're going to stand. And maybe some of you are in that place. You're like, man, I'm trying so hard, but God has not showed up in my furnace. Life still sucks sometimes, and I don't know why. You trust in God because you've known him from the beginning. Just like these guys who ate vegetables for a week before this even happened and saw themselves stronger and better off than all the other people in the land. You know how God has worked in your life. We talked about it. Maybe you've seen God save a marriage. Maybe you've seen him heal somebody. Maybe you've seen him work in your life in a special and unique way. Because you've seen that, because you know that, you can have faith that you can stand when everybody else bows. Because even if God doesn't get you out of your trouble, he's still by your side and he's still in charge. That is why these three stood. And as we close, think about it this way. Think about it this way. Why would Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego bow to a statue that honestly, if they tried hard enough, they could probably push over and break? Why would they bow to a statue, this image of gold that has no heart, that knows nothing about them, that will never speak to them, that doesn't care about them? Why would they bow to that when they know God Almighty personally? When they have a personal relationship with God? And today in 2014, for you as junior hires, why would we bow to these things that say, hey, try this, do this, do this, do that. You know they're wrong, but just try them. Just try them. Why would we bow to these things that everybody else is doing that we know only lead to hurt and pain and trouble when we know a God whose truth and grace and peace and love is better than anything else in this world? Why? Why? Why would we abandon our God when he's always by our side and there's nothing better than him? So when the world around us bows, we have to stand. No matter what the situation is, no matter what the threats are, no matter what our furnace is, we have to stand for God. And we stand because just like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, God has loved us from the very beginning. So I want to leave you with a question. I want you to think about this week. I want you to think about as you walk out of this place. What do you stand for? Or better yet, maybe this is a better question. Who, as a junior hire, as a Christian, who do you stand for? Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for your love. God, thank you for being with us from the very beginning. God, for showing up in our lives in ways that we never, ever could have dreamed of. God, just like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, we decide to stand for what is right, stand for what you command us to do, because we know that nothing is better than you. Because we know that you've loved us from the beginning and that you always have our best interests in mind, that you care for us. And even if you don't show up in some crazy, miraculous way, it doesn't matter because you are still God, you are still in charge, and we trust and know that you care for us and you love us and you're never going to hurt us. God, I pray for every single person in this room, God, that you would give them the courage and the faithfulness and the boldness to stand when the world around them bows to things that we know we shouldn't be doing. I pray that they would stand for you, that they would stand for truth, and that they would stand for what is right. God, we love you so much. Thank you for this Sunday. Help us all to love our moms well this afternoon. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Eighth graders, we love you so much. 3 weeks, I cannot believe it. You guys all have a great week. We love you.